So we're in the midst of our stewardship season here at church, and we're titling it this year, The Tree of Life. As we look at various tree-related scriptures, we're coming to see how our lives are connected to growth and root of trees. Now, I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to watch a tree grow from the beginning, but it's a long process. I have planted a grand total of one tree in my life that is still living. It's at my parents' house. When I was in elementary school, once or twice a year, the school would send every student home with a tree to plant. I learned this week that this isn't a common practice in the suburbs, but it's something that happened a lot out in the middle of nowhere where I lived. Most of the time, they would give us a pine tree. After a few years of excitedly bringing my pine tree home, only to be told by my parents that we have nowhere to plant a pine tree, I just started giving my pine tree to kids on the bus that claimed they had a whole bunch of land to plant pine trees. But one year, instead of a pine tree, they gave us a tulip tree. My parents decided that they did have a place for that. So we planted this tiny little branch in our front yard. And my mom worked hard to make sure it would grow. It was touch and go for a few years, and we had to carefully cover it with netting to help it survive a year of cicadas early on. We celebrated the year about 10 years in when it was first able to hold one string of Christmas lights. It's taken time, and it's taken patience, and it's still the only tree in my life I've watched completely grow. But it's been there now for close to 25 years. And according to an estimate I asked my parents for this week, they say it's about 55 feet tall now. Trees grow, but they do take time. And sometimes in the midst of growing, they stop doing what they're supposed to do. That's what the parable that Jesus tells us in our scripture this morning is about. It's about a tree that's not doing what trees are supposed to do. Jesus tells a parable of a fig tree that isn't producing any figs. So the landowner wants to cut down the tree, but the gardener who tends the tree wants to give it another chance. Now, this is admittedly a lesser known parable of Jesus, and honestly, the church hasn't really done it any favors in how we've interpreted it. The traditional interpretation of this parable goes something like this. God is the landowner, Jesus is the gardener, and we're the fig tree. God can't look on our non-fruit-bearing selves and so needs a punishment for us. Jesus, however, convinces him to give humanity another chance. And then the message for us is just to try to be good enough and bear enough fruit that will please God and Jesus enough to not be cut down. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like an awful lesson. And it sounds like a faith that I'm not quite sure that I want to believe in. But here's the thing. The interpretation of that parable, it just doesn't match up with the God that the Gospel of Luke is presenting. Just two chapters after this obscure fig tree parable, we get three parables that are better known. The one about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the prodigal son, which all show us a God who will go to any length necessary to bring us back to him. So why would the same God just want to chop us down? Instead, maybe faith isn't trying to be good enough to not disappoint God. Instead, maybe faith is living into who God has created us to be. What happens if we dive into this parable and talk about it in this way? What if we keep consistent the loving and graceful God that Luke keeps showing us? What happens if God, through the person of the Jesus, stays the gardener, but humanity is both the landowner and the fig tree? Now, I know it's more complex to have to think about two people as two different parts of this short parable, but let's try it. Maybe the landowner is a representation of how we as humans often think the world should work. As humans, we want a world that we perceive as fair. We want a world where the people that do the work and bear the fruit get rewarded, and the people who contribute nothing and bear no fruit have no worth and are cut down. And then Jesus, as the gardener, shows up and says, actually, your worth doesn't come from how much you do. and how much you produce. Instead, you're already full of infinite worth because you are a child of God. And because Jesus loves us unconditionally and wants the best for us, Jesus will go to any means necessary to help us to bear fruit. Now, this is really important. Jesus wants us to bear fruit not because that's how we find our worth or value, but because that's what we were created to do. A fig tree is supposed to bear figs because that's what fig trees do. We're supposed to bear the fruit of love and grace and generosity and hope and all those good things that Jesus provides because that's what we were created to do. Jesus wants to help us be who we were created to be. So Jesus commits to work in our lives and in our world to offer fertilizer, to make the soil healthier, so that we might have the opportunity to bear good fruit in our lives. This is good news. This is how we find hope in this parable. This parable is the promise that Jesus isn't going to give up on us. It's the promise that Jesus wants to guide us to become all that we were created to be. It's the promise that even when we're having a year like 2020, when it seems so difficult to bear any fruit, that Jesus is still at work in our lives. It's the promise that as much as we might be tempted to turn into the landowner and judge others only by what they're contributing or producing, that that's not how Jesus sees the situation. Jesus wants to help us be who we were created to be. Now, at this point, you must be wondering, what does this all have to do with stewardship? Well, you were created to be generous. And that's not just some sort of church stewardship season talk. That's the truth. It's why you get that happy feeling when you pay for somebody's drink behind you in the Starbucks line. Or why you smile with joy when you give a gift to your grandkid. Or why you get that feeling of satisfaction when you donate to somebody in need. You have those responses because by bearing the fruit of generosity, you're living into who you were created to be. So when we talk about stewardship here, whether we're talking about pledge cards or step charts or volunteering your time, it's not a challenge to do more or produce more. It's an invitation to be who we were created to be. We aren't in a competition to see how many pledge cards we can get or how much money we can get. We're trying to live into our role as a church, to show each other that with some fertilizer from Jesus, we can bear the fruit of generosity, and we can become more the people that God has created us to be. So when you think about generosity in your life, think about it in that way. Think not about how you can be more or produce more to look better to the landowner, but think about how you can let Jesus fertilize your soul to make your whole self live more generously. Think about where in your life you need to let Jesus work so that you can bear the fruit that you were created to bear. Maybe that happens in the generosity of your time and how you spend the 24 hours you're given in a day. Maybe that happens in the generosity of your relationships and how you interact with others. Maybe that happens in the generosity of your money and what you give and what you have. Maybe it happens in the generosity of your attitude and how you treat others who might disagree with you. Fig trees were created to bear figs. You were created to be generous. This isn't a challenge, it's an invitation to live into who you were already created to be. Jesus is committed to doing whatever it takes for us to bear fruit. Jesus believes that all are worthy of bearing fruit. Now, this concept of all being worthy to bear fruit, it's lived out in real trees in several cities in our country, starting with San Francisco. Many years ago, the city of San Francisco, like many cities, planted these ornamental, non-fruit-producing trees along their city streets, with the argument that if they planted fruit or if they planted trees that actually bared real fruit, it would cause too big of a mess on their sidewalks and streets. However, now, many of these trees that were built or that were planted just to give leaves and flowers and no fruit now do bear fruit, thanks to a group known as the guerrilla grafters. These guerrilla grafters, they work under a simple premise. All fruit trees are worthy of bearing fruit. So they go out in secret because what they're doing is technically illegal. And what they do is they graft fruit-bearing branches onto the non-fruit-bearing trees. And if you know anything about grafting, I only know a very little, but if you know anything about grafting, you can do this in trees. You can graft a different type of tree into the tree, and then eventually that tree will become that type of tree. And so it takes some time, but eventually what happens to these trees that weren't created to bear fruit, now they are bearing fruit. And they've been at this long enough to see several successful trees start producing fruit. And you know what they found? There's actually minimal fruit mess in the city. Because instead, people who live in these areas, which already tend to be underserved when it comes to the availability and affordability of fresh produce, these people are picking the fruit off the trees as they walk down the sidewalk and eating it. These trees aren't just bearing fruit. They're bearing fruit that helps others. All because some people believed that all trees are worthy of bearing fruit. All trees are worthy of bearing fruit. And all people are worthy of bearing fruit. When we live into generosity, we're not only becoming who Jesus has created us to be. We're the type of people who help the gardener help other people who they were created to be as well. We turn away from the temptation to be like the landowner. And instead, we get to participate in the work of the gardener to help fertilize the soil. All trees are worthy of the investment to help them bear fruit. So live generously that you might not only bear fruit, but provide opportunities for others to bear fruit as well. Give your time and your money and your whole self to be who you were created to be, and to provide ways for other people to be who they were created to be as well. It takes a lot of time and a lot of work to grow a tree, but it's always worth it because it allows for a small branch to grow into a big tree, and it allows for a barren fig tree to eventually produce figs. And most importantly, it allows the trees to be what they were created to be. And the promise of this scripture is that Jesus will do whatever it takes to work in us and make us be who we were created to be. Jesus wants us to bear fruit not as a challenge or a demand, but because that's what we were created to do. We are created to love. We are created to hope. We are created to be generous. Bear the fruit of generosity because that's who you were created to be. Let's pray. Holy and loving God, we thank you that you have created us as your children, that you seek to nurture in us the desire to bear love and hope and generosity. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able as we